Carlos Alvarez joins us on Sports Byline. He's been inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, and deservedly so, after a fine college career as a wide receiver at the University of Florida. And Carlos, I was very impressed with what you said when you found out. You said, "I'm not known for being out of words when I speak, but when I was told about it, I really was speechless, truly so." Why were you so surprised by this?
Ron, there's probably a host of reasons, but obviously it's been a while since I played. And it's just surprising when something like that happens. You know, I'm no longer a jock or a guy who caught passes. I'm an attorney. And so you view your life as an attorney, and when somebody says, "Look, you've been inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame," what can you say? You know, it's not part of it. If it had happened to me, you know, a couple of years after I played, I would have been expecting it. But after all these years, all that is just, you know, it's the cream on top of the dessert, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing, but it's really unexpected.
Is that happiness heightened because you're an immigrant son of the United States? I mean, is that part of the reason why it means so much to you?
Yes. It, without a doubt, Ron, that is a huge part of it. In fact, part of my speechlessness was really thinking, my dad passed away a year after I graduated from Florida of a sudden heart attack. And he sacrificed so much when he came over here to make sure that my brothers and I have a sister too, that we had a chance at opportunity. You know, he was here in the States for 13 years and took basically a two-week vacation during that time. And my thought was of him, you know, and as well as, frankly, and this is not to be, you know, try to be, I don't even know what to call it, but not try to pass on congratulations to a lot of people that helped me, but they did. And it was my dad, it was, you know, thinking about him especially, and my mom, as well as my teammates and coaches and a whole bunch of mentors from Boys Club days at in Miami, who, when you get older, if you think about it, if it wasn't for all these people, you simply wouldn't be anywhere near the place that you're in right now. Just made me think of that, and it was such a sudden sort of thing that it made me speechless.
Was gravitating toward football a natural thing for you? Because for most Hispanic youth, of course, soccer is a natural sport for them.
Well, for me, being Cuban, baseball was. And that's what I, when I came here, that's all I knew. It was really baseball. I played a little bit of basketball. And I didn't know really anything about football. But I went to, luckily, when we moved to Miami, and this was Miami in the 60s, which is different than Miami now. You know, Miami in the 60s is not Hispanically controlled as it is now in South Florida. And we moved to an American neighborhood. In fact, went to a school that my brothers and I were the only ones who spoke Spanish. Spanish, and there was nobody who spoke Spanish besides us. And it was really interesting, that experience, just trying to learn English. But I went to a boys club that, and I just moved up on the sports. Like, first they played, you know, we had a basketball season, then we had a baseball season, then it came football, and it came, "Do you want to play this new sport?" And I decided I'd give it a go, for no other reason that I wanted to be an American. And what sport do you play if you want to be an American? But football, especially back then. And so I did. So I started playing it at the boys club and continued playing my other sports, but ultimately liked the sport so much and really wanted to do well at it, because I really thought that is my path to be an American, that's why I stayed in it.
Tell me a little bit about you going and becoming a wide receiver. Did that position come to you because of your size and your speed?
I was a running back in high school in Miami. And, you know, I was not a bad running back. I was second in the county in South Florida in yardage. So I was a good running back, but I never saw myself as a running back in college, especially in the Southeastern Conference, where there was a running back at Florida named Larry Smith, who was a great running back. He actually ended up playing for the Rams, the L.A. Rams at the time. He was a first-round draft choice. And he was a senior when I was going there as a freshman. And I've never seen somebody take so much punishment. And I just knew my body could not do that. I mean, I just knew I could not do that and survive. And I always wanted to be a wide receiver in terms of watching. I remember watching in Miami some of the pro football games. They used to have a game down there in South Florida that was the runner-ups of the National Football League before they merged. And people like, you know, great receivers like Raymond Berry and stuff used to go down there. And I used to think, gosh, I'd love to play wide receiver, kind of in a pro formation. And so I did. And Florida, when I got recruited at Florida, they promised me, A, that I would be tried out as a wide receiver, and then I would be tried out as a running back, and then if it didn't work out, I'd be a defensive back. But I wanted to be real bad, a wide receiver, and, you know, made it. I mean, I practiced real hard at it, but I made it.
Carlos Alvarez is with us, wide receiver at the University of Florida and now a member of the College Football Hall of Fame. You burst on the season in your sophomore year. First game was against Houston. Tell me about the first play from scrimmage.
Well, it was actually the third play that you're probably talking about. But Houston at the time was the number one team. It was rated number one by the Sports Illustrated. It was our first game of the year. Houston had an incredible team. They had just really perfected the Veer offense. They had run 100 points against Tulsa the previous year and beaten a number of Southeastern Conference teams, too, including a great Archie Manning team. But that, I think that happened in 69, the year we played them. So it was our first game of the season. Florida, which was, you know, we were expected to have a losing season against number one rated Houston. But they didn't realize that we had an incredible quarterback named John Reeves, who was also a sophomore like I was. And back then, only sophomores could only play. You couldn't play as a freshman, so you had, the freshman sophomore season was your first season. And Florida had thrown two touchdown passes the year before, the whole season. So you can imagine their surprise when our strategy was run the ball into the line the first two plays, and on the third play, go for the bomb. And we did. And it worked to perfection. So my first catch was on Florida Field in front of 55,000 Florida fans, a 70-yard touchdown. On the left sidelines, and it was funny, my number was 45, which was a number of Homer Jones, a wide receiver for the New York Giants, who I always loved the way he did the fly route. And it just happened to be my first one, too. So, yeah. So it was a lovely way to start the career, and we ultimately beat them that game, something like 59-34. Just a wild, wild game. At halftime, we had them 38-6, and most people thought that the score was reversed, that it was Houston, not us, that was beating us. So it was a wild game. It was a great first game of my career.
Yeah, the Miami Herald story said that it was your first play of the game, but the third play of the game overall that Reeves threw the pass. And you also said the only problem with that play was that I was way too young to realize what I had done. At what point did you finally realize that then, Carlos?
You know, Ron, it wasn't until years later, because you just don't get that perspective. You know, that season there was a number of other catches. I had even longer catches than that. But you don't realize until much later in life that, you know, catching a 70-yard touchdown pass on the first play of your career is unusual, especially against a number one team. And I didn't realize that until later on. I enjoy the hell out of it. I'll tell you that. I mean, you know, I remember sitting in the locker room afterwards, after the game, and I was the last one out. I was just soaking it in. The team, of course, was a wonderful team. And I had John Reeves was truly, truly an unbelievable drop-back quarterback. As good a drop-back quarterback as I have ever seen as far as throwing the ball, just beautiful, easy spiral to catch. And we had a senior-led team. We had our offensive line was mostly just seniors. We had great senior leadership. There was a family atmosphere to that team that was like any great team. it is that kind of unity, and it was in that team. And, man, I just sat in that locker room afterwards, and I just – really, I didn't want it to leave. I knew that. I didn't want that feeling to leave. But I really didn't realize what all that was about until years later. And, you know, to this day, it's within Florida, obviously, because, you know, you have the Florida fans. Every year I get a number of people – I mean, really, without making it up, a number of people that talk about that play and still remember it.
You certainly did have a fine game in that Houston game. You had 6 catches for 182 yards. Now, I can do the math on that one myself, 30 yards a catch. Mm-hmm. And your sophomore season, you had 1,329 yards. And, of course, you said it was a magical season, 9-1-1, and you win the Gator Bowl over Tennessee as well. And going back to Reeves for just a second, you have also said my name and his name are forever tied. What was the chemistry? Because it is always special when a receiver has success, that chemistry that they have with the quarterback. What was it that you had with John Reeves?
We truly is chemistry there, and you're right about that. John and I, John could sense – like if I broke a route, when I would break a route, he could sense really the speed of my route and the way I would run it, given the way a defensive back was covering me, or given the defense zone or man or a combination of that. John could sense, really he could sense what I would how I would react to that and how my pattern would be shaped. Obviously, it doesn't happen every time, but it happened so often. And the reason that was built up is we came to school together. I didn't go to school at Florida because of John Reeves. He was probably a Tim Tebow-like recruit where everybody really wanted him. And he just went to Florida, but it didn't dawn on me, even though I wanted a wide receiver, that it was just like a gift given to me. And so when he got there, from the day one, from the first day we went out, we worked together religiously. I mean, through workouts, through summer by ourselves, just going back and forth to the point where by the time we were in that first game, we knew what each other was going to do. And certainly John has to know a lot more what I'm going to do than I would have to know what he would have to do. But that chemistry was there. Any, you know, whether it's in the college or in the pros, when you have that kind of combination, magic can happen. I mean, to this day, John and I have more completions. He has more completions to each other than any other tandem ever at Florida. And, you know, Florida's had a couple of passing teams in the past. And I think John and I are proud of that because we did have that chemistry. We both knew so much about each other that it worked. And, you know, that is not to say that John and I didn't socialize with each other that much. We were mostly out in the field. Not that we disliked each other at all. We really enjoyed each other's company. But we didn't socialize in the same circles. But just on the field or on the practice, we were both determined to do our best.
We have about a minute left, Carlos, and I know that athletes don't like to be labeled, but you had the nickname the Cuban Comet. Were you comfortable with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I'll tell you something I found out recently. The Cuban Comet was also the nickname of Minny Minoso, who you may remember, but he was a great Chicago White Sox outfielder. And he was also the Babe Ruth to me of Cuban baseball, and he was my idol. When I was a kid in Cuba, I didn't know this until about 5 or 6 years ago, that he was also called in the Chicago White Sox era, back in the 50s and early 60s, the Cuban Comet. So it's even more of a thrill to me to be called the Cuban Comet.
I got to tell you, he was a great outfielder. You're absolutely right. And as you were talking about it, I had to smile a little bit because I've seen some video of him and I've heard people talk about him. So I can understand why you were so honored by that. Carlos, congratulations. You deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And thank you for sharing your life and your career with us here on Sports Byline.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And again, hi to the troops. And thank you for your work with the troops.
Carlos Alvarez with us again, fine wide receiver at the University of Florida for 3 years, inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, and he was the Gators' leading receiver for a couple of seasons, drafted by the Cowboys in 72, but knee injuries prevented him from beginning his professional career, but he was an outstanding wide receiver. We continue with more of you at America's Sports Talk Show.